In this weekly discussion on Bhagavad Gita, we started the study of 6th chapter from last Friday. And 6th chapter is very important as a connecting link between the understanding of the Karma Yoga, the Yoga of Action, and understanding the spiritual practice of meditation, and later on the devotion. Therefore, it is in a way a connecting chapter. Many times it is asked that in Bhagavad Gita you don't find much mention about meditation or Raj Yoga or what is commonly called yogic practices. They are mentioned in a very beautiful, concise way in the 6th chapter. Sometimes it is asked by people that I want to learn meditation. Because meditation, this word holds a charm of its own. People hear this word and then come and say, "Oh, Swami, teach meditation." And then they take some book on meditation, read the book. But it is very important to tune our life into a meditative awareness before one can actually start meditation. And that awareness is being given here. Just sitting in some posture doesn't become meditation. Even some practices of concentration or some breathing exercises doesn't make it a meditation in the sense of this Vedantic or spiritual understanding. Meditation is a process that is to be taken up after certain preparation. One example I was just giving to some persons here, that it is like just lighting the stove for cooking. First you have to have the ingredients to cook with, you have to have the pots and pans ready, you need to know what is going to be cooked. Just lighting the fire doesn't really help. So meditation has its prerequisites. Just as before lighting the stove, you have to see whether you have all those ingredients are there or not. Otherwise, you put the fire and then find that there is nothing to cook. So, now you have to rush to market to get the things. So, in many cases, this sudden that upsurge in the mind, "Oh, I want to learn meditation. And meditation will make me so calm." Because there are so many disturbing thoughts going on in the mind, and a lot of frustration in the life. So, you read somewhere, "If I meditate, it will be so nice. So, let me meditate." It is not a cut and dried piece like that in spiritual life. And Bhagavad Gita very beautifully and very importantly pulls all these things together and gives a very unified process of meditation that lifts up our life actually towards the goal. This is very important. And we saw in the first verse that Arjuna, like all of us, has been feeling the thought that all these duties that I must do, they create bondage for me and somehow I must get rid of them. How nice I feel when I have this vacation and not much of work to do, no compulsions of duty, and then it will be so nice. but we are not ready for that stage. And also this understanding that work is a bondage is not entirely true. Work in a particular form, work when done in a wrong manner, is certainly a creator of big bondage. But that work alone is also the means to get rid of it. The work is a means for liberation too. And that is therefore to be practiced. If you want to give up the work, it doesn't solve the problem. It will further compound the problems. And therefore one has to learn how to do work properly so that the bondage is given up and you become free. Whether you give up the work or not is then not a question at all. It is the bondage that was bothersome. And so, if you give the work and still retain the bondage, it is no use of giving work. It is therefore the learning process to do the work in a methodical way. So that while doing the work, you get rid of the bondage. And that is what is called yoga. And in the first verse, Lord, that first verse we started last Friday, Anashrita Karma Phalam, Lord starts saying that you have to do work in this way. Anashrita Karma Phalam, Karyam Karma Karotiyah, Sasanyasi Sayogicha, Na Niragnir Na Chakriyah. A great lesson that who is a sannyasi means the one who gives up everything. Arjuna is feeling a strong but emotional desire to give up everything. We also sometimes get that vibration. But unless we are ready for it, unless our whole life is tuned to that stage, we cannot give up. And therefore, Lord tells, what is this giving up? It is not just taking up some formal science of monastic life. Not giving up of action makes you a monk. Not giving up of certain duties in life makes you a monk. Or even if you take up certain external science of monastic life, that also doesn't make you a monk. What makes you a monk is performance of actions. It is very karyam karma karoti yah, very powerfully Lord has stated here that it is the doing of duties, doing of your works that needed to be done, not works that you just take up because you like them. It is not that you take up the work that you like and so that becomes your work. That is not what is mentioned. It is very important that we do the work that is needed to be done by us. And that work one does without caring for the fruits thereof. Then doing actions in that particular way is becoming a yogi and also becoming a sannyasi, means the one who renounces, one who is a monk, is that person. And to emphasize it again, it is said that not the one who just takes up some external science of a monastic life. taking only the external signs of a monk does not make anybody a monk. I can put on the dress of a soldier. There are many, you know, you get them in the that clothing shops and all. I see sometimes people put on a military that jacket with that same kind of design. That doesn't mean that the person can go and properly shoot and has military training. That is a different thing. You can put on a fireman's dress. Does it make you automatically a capable fireman? You do not. The training is important. Then what dress you put is secondary. The dress is only an external sign. It is not that the dress automatically makes you that. So, Lord tells that performance of duties in the right spirit is what you need, Arjuna. It is a psychologically important teaching at that stage of Arjuna's development. That, and most of us are, let alone that stage, are not even up to that. We all have to do work, therefore. The next stages come gradually, and it is not to be decided just by subjective whims, but there are objective criteria to judge that, and that will come later in this after a couple of verses. So then Lord says that Arjuna, you wanted to give up, you know, I told you what is really giving up. The wise people, the next verse says, therefore understand the performance of actions is in the spirit, performance of actions in the right spirit as equivalent to giving up or becoming a monk. Yam sanyasam iti prahu yogam tam vidhi pandava nahi asanyast sankalpo yogi bhavati kashchana. Know that which is extolled as sannyasa to be yoga, O Pandava Arjuna, verily no one becomes a yogi without renouncing desire for the fruit of action. So now our Lord has pinpointed what is to be given up. And it is very important to look at the works that we perform. Then we understand that how our work is just a desire congealed, a desire that has been put into a packet called work. And thus, giving up desire for us means giving up the work also. We find it so difficult to do work without having any desire. Many times this question therefore gets asked again and again, that how will I feel any motivation to do anything unless there is a desire? For example, I go to my work, I am an accountant in some bank, and I do that work because I have a desire to get money. I also have a desire to climb the higher ladder of economic prosperity, and also that will help me to climb the social ladders of prestige too. That is what I see, that this work is, if I don't have that desire, then I will not perform these works either. That is how we make people work in this world. If a person is not working, then we tell that person, Everywhere this technique is applied, called carrot and stick technique. If you work instead of 8 hours, if you work 9 hours, then we will give you this raise. That it is in San Diego, there is an old San Diego town. They have preserved it very well, and it gives the illustration of how the schools were run then, and how the other things in society were. So the school had some rules for the teachers. It is very difficult now. Now no teachers are likely to work. I don't know now the way the things are. Maybe they will get ready to work with those stringent conditions. Who knows? But the conditions were such that a teacher is supposed to work 6 hours. 6 days a week, 9 hours a day. So, 54 hours. And after remaining this time also he should spend in studying and preparing for the classes. Then, Sunday, they are supposed to go to church. That is also stipulated there. It is written that they are stipulated that going to church is a must. And it is so many responsibilities were put on them. And it is written their work will be evaluated for 5 years. And if found satisfactory, their wages will be increased by 50 cents per week, provided the board approves. That also is not a guaranteed something. If your work is satisfactory, then 50 cents per week raise can be given pending the approval from the board. So, if not, then you are summarily removed. So that raise idea, okay, if I perform well, I will get some raise. If I don't perform, I will get a kick. So it is, that is what makes people work. And if that idea is taken away, then since we are so tied with that idea, that it is difficult to feel that how can I work without it. It is, really speaking, working capacity doesn't depend on that. But we are slavishly tied to these things and that make us work. See how it happens. Those who are habituated to give lectures like I give with a microphone in front, it appears that without microphone I will not be able to speak at all. Is microphone necessary for speaking? No. But unless that thing is in front, maybe I will not feel the inspiration. Who knows? We had a typist and he had all the spellings in his fingers. The typist profession is like that. So I asked him the spelling of some word, and he couldn't tell first. Then he started doing his fingers like this, and then the spelling came right away. The other day we had problem with one spelling. How the word miscellaneous is spelled. And then one gentleman couldn't tell that, but said that, okay, give me a paper, I can write it. It is how these things happen because of habit. A particular capability gets tied with a particular idea. So, capacity to do work has been tied with these desires. If the desires are there, then I work. If there are no desires, I don't work. And that becomes the bondage in life. And therefore, it requires a training, friends, to give up the desires and work. First, mentally, we have to make a break that I can work also without desires. There is another way to do it too. Substitute the desire and see if you can work or not. Gradually, you start working with it. Like, take up some unselfish desire instead of a selfish one. That let me work to help this particular cause. Let me do some work in some charitable organization for the welfare of others, and see if we can do it or not. So one can gradually see that even without any selfish desire I can work. Slowly it starts dawning on our psyche that one can work absolutely without any desire. And then doing work like that makes one yogi and also therefore a monk, a sannyasi. So Lord says, without doing it, nobody can become a yogi. Without giving up the desire, that nahi asanyasta sankalpo, the one who cannot give up or has not given up the desires can never become a yogi. So, this is very important to bring fulfillment to our life, to practice this giving up of desire. And the first thing is therefore to break this connection between work and desire. It is many works, many activities we do without any particular connection with desire, but they are done unconsciously. There is no desire as such there. That instead of standing, sometimes you go and sit. Not that you are feeling tired or a particular necessity to sit. No desire as such. But you saw a chair and you went and sat there. It is, had there been no chair, you wouldn't have been particularly requiring to sit. But it is okay, I sit or I stand, doesn't matter. So, we do certain things without any particular desire associated with it. So, this also we have to reflect on our understanding, that when I can do so many things without a particular desire associated with it, that means I can work without desire. A question may come here, and we had discussed that question earlier, that if I do not get anything out of my work, how can I survive? I work because my employer pays me, and that makes me sustain my life in this world. If I work and the university doesn't pay Dorothy, then she is not going to go to work. It is paying, and so I go. But therefore, an unconscious wrong connection has been made here, that what I get paid depends on my desire. It really doesn't depend on that, whether I have big desire. Suppose she desires that my wages be $1 million a year. That doesn't mean the university is going to write the check of $1 million automatically. Otherwise, everybody will have the big desires. You know, why million? You can make it a billion or trillion too, if it just depends on desire. What you get
really does not depend at all on your desires.
Just see, you know, examine. Does it depend on your desire? It does not. What you get is kind of worth of your work, that's all. And that it is dependent on so many factors. Your desire plays absolutely no role there. What it creates for us is only bondage. Do we want it? Our desires bring bondage to us, nothing more. No benefit accrues through them, only bondage. Without desires, all the benefits that we are getting from work will come to us. Sans bondage. Desire, those benefits will not increase because of the desire. Only bondage will get added to it, that's all. So therefore, as a struggle for freedom, one must learn this great idea that without giving up the desire, nobody can become yogi. Nahi asanyasta sankalpah yogi bhavati kashchana. Then it is next verse is very important to understand that it is a gradual evolution. Rome was not built in a day. Spiritual life also is not just built in a day. It is a long process. There are stages of evolution. Yes, there will be a point in your life where the external work become redundant. But that happens only after going through this practice of disciplined, dedicated, unselfish work. Then the utility of work is done. Then it is like, suppose you have to cook some vegetable. Then you pick up, say for example, I made some cauliflower for the lunch. So I took the cauliflower and then started chopping. Now, knife is the tool for that, for chopping knife, cutting board and so forth to chop the cauliflower. Now, after the chopping is done, then put it in the microwave and all that. Then knife is now no more the tool. Now microwave became the tool, not the knife. So, if I say, no, I will use microwave first, well, it will be difficult, you see. That is not the tool to be used at this stage. At this stage, you should use the tool called knife. Later on, when that will get chopped properly, now you use the tool called microwave. So, it is like that. If you mix it up, it doesn't work that way. It has, everything has a particular order, you know. That without that order, it is, if you change, sometimes people want to do things in advance, you know. That first the person has to die and then the funeral takes place. And not the reverse order, no, when that fellow will die, we don't know. First let us do the funeral and let that fellow die later. That is ridiculous, you see. It is not the proper order. So, first let me give up everything. You are not ready. You will not be able to give up everything. You have to learn to practice this karma yoga, the dedicated practice of doing work. It requires discipline. The words are so very potent here. Each word can, you know, bring out such huge wealth of meaning. that, for example, this word, that karyam karma, the work that is required, our tendency is not to look at what is required to be done, but what I like to do, that I will go to do it, not what is required to be done. In our monastic life, first training that we are given is this: what you like doesn't matter at all. What you are capable of, that also means, capable means you may be academically educated in one line. That also doesn't matter much. You do what you are told to do. I don't like, well, that is not the question. You have to do what you are told to do. It is, if you don't like, it is good that you do something that you don't like, so that you will learn to control your likes and dislikes. That is a big training. The work that should not be driven by likes and dislikes. It is, you may not like it, but that is necessary to be done. Do it. It is necessary for the smoothening of your, that all the ego angularities need to be smoothened out. One may like the work, for example, that person, some people like gardening. Yeah, that is their liking, their habit, and so want to do lot of gardening. Anything that they find, is it not good to do gardening? Well, gardening is not the goal of life. You want to realize God or the true self in life. It is, that is important. So one has to, many in our order, therefore, who liked gardening were told to do something else. Those who didn't like gardening were told, hey, you go and work in garden. You don't like it, is it not? So you do it. It is all, because that is, the idea is, to eliminate the connection of like and dislike with our works. What is necessary to be done, that should be done. Sometimes we take up the work because it is a prominent work. A lot of people will see me working there and I will get therefore recognition. And it is an important work. We associate, and some works are associated with some importance. And this is an important work. Others are, you know, they are secondary or menial, and I must do something important. Now, that prompts us to take up some works and reject some other works. Especially in our Indian society, there is lot of hierarchy about it. In United States, it is very good in that sense that the works are not considered in themselves that superior or inferior. It is, but one has these ideas that I am doing something important. It doesn't matter whether it is important or not. What is important is realizing truth in your life. And if your working does that, then it is important for you. Otherwise, it is not important for you. What good it brings, suppose I do like this work, how the society gets helped? What is the meaning of this question? What is the meaning of society getting help? These are all really very childish ideas. But we want to see certain types of results. We have our own funny ideas of what is required by society, and we want to impose them on everybody. So we think that this is what is good for society. It is not necessarily right. It is not that you have to think that I have to do something important, something good for the society. It is you do your duty, you will become a good person, and that will do a lot of good to the society automatically. That is how a yogi uses this great tool of work to get free from the bondage. This is the goal. Whatever takes you towards the goal is right. Then externally it may not seem very nice, or from some other angles it may not be beneficial. But the important benefit that you have to derive in life is that reaching the goal. Like when you want to go somewhere, you take the flight that takes you there. Another flight, even in that flight, you don't get the proper chosen seat. You needed an aisle seat, but no, all aisle seats are filled in that flight. I want to go to San Francisco, all aisle seats and window seats are already filled. So, but does it mean that I should go to Florida because there are many vacant seats on that flight? No, destination is important, you see. My choice of seat and likings and dislikes, they are secondary. This is what one has to learn. Not to choose work according to the likings, but what is given. What work comes to you, do it. This idea you will find again repeated in Bhagavad Gita in the chapters, 18th chapter specifically, you will find it again emphasized. So, what happens when one does work like that? Then, gradually, you transcend the necessity of work. If you have been using the knife properly, then what happens? The vegetable is cut now. Now the job of knife is done so far as that particular work is concerned. Now the other instrument has to come in play. So similarly, the utility of this work gradually is removed from life. Utility of this, or the need of work, is removed from life. Just as the need for one instrument is, after its work is done, you keep it aside. So life gets evolved gradually by proper use of this tool of work to a level where now the control and meditation and all those things become meaningful. Then you can quiet your mind. Quieting of the mind becomes possible, therefore, only if you are performing work in the spirit and have reached that stage of evolution. In the animal kingdom, you cannot teach them the ethics or philosophy. You don't have the classes for them. For example, there are the dog schools, dog training places. They are taught jumping and such things, you know, that fetch a ball and all those things. They are taught. But have you ever seen that a dog is given class on ethics or morality or philosophy? It is useless. It is sometimes the people, they impose all their feelings on their pets also, and put all those things on the my cat and my dog, and it is trying to put certain things there which are not. It is not at that level where those feelings become meaningful. It is the system, the brain is wired in a different way. So, it is that becomes available for human beings. For human beings, therefore, the idea of right and wrong is there. For animals, their like, dislike is synonymous with right and wrong. Whatever they like, when they go for it, that is right. What is they don't like, that is automatically wrong. For human beings, there is a separation, very clear separation. And that creates this problem of sin for human beings, right and wrong. If I know what is right, then only the idea that I did not do right, and therefore my conscience starts pricking. Animals do not do any sin at all. They are always virtuous. It is absolutely impossible for them to commit any sinful activity. Because that idea of right and wrong is yet to evolve there. So, their right and wrong is identified with like and dislike. Human beings know that something I like, but it is not right. And so, when my sense of like overpowers my sense of right, my conscience becomes troubled. I feel, I have not done right. It was not what I should have done. I got just carried away by something. Sometimes I get such phone calls. And very nice, you know, that young man was telling, you know, I didn't like to do that, I don't want to do that, but some friends and then came and then I went with them and then I told to myself, what does it matter, so I did it and then now I am feeling that bad, the sense that I shouldn't have done that. Now, this is impossible for an animal, you know. It is because there is no such separation. It is an evolution. So, when a stage comes in life, when a person has performed work in this fashion, this dedication and unselfish, not having desires, when one gets trained in that, then now external work now is not needed anymore. Not that you should not be doing it. You may do it. You can do it, but as a need, as a spiritual discipline, its utility is not there anymore. Now what is needed in life is getting calmed down. Now it is possible for you to get calmed down when the desires are just bursting forth. You cannot calm down when there is so much of steam is generated in the boiler. The fire is on, the steam is generated, no outlet, all valves shut. And that will just make the boiler burst. It is, you cannot just go and say, no, calm down, calm down. You have to give expression to that. That is what is needed at that point. When the pressure is gone, then, okay, now you can shut it and it will remain calm. So, when our mind is just boiling with all those desires, I want to do this, let me do that, I want to make the world completely peaceful and completely based on ethics and morality, I want to remove all injustice from the world, okay, go ahead, try doing that, do work, but unselfishly. Don't be carried away with the idea that the world will become completely unselfish and completely peaceful and there will be no injustice in the world. And you do your work, give your quota, your efforts, do that, fine. What happens that God will decide? You do your job as a dedicated being, you put in your efforts, that will give proper vent to all these things. And thus the mind will become calm down. Now that calm mind is capable of meditating. So this verse, Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate Yogarudhasya Tasyaiva Shamah Karanam Uchyate. Normally I first read the verse and then explain. And this time I took a reverse route because of the context, that for the sage who desires to attain to yoga, action is said to be the means. And for him alone, when he has attained to yoga, inaction is said to be the means. The translation is good, but doesn't bring out all the these connotations of these words karma and shamaha. A person who wants to become a yogi, yes, karma is the means for it. Do work in the spirit, and when you become yoga rodha, means you have now established yourself in yoga, then now for you, giving up the work is the means. Like you took the plane to go to San Francisco. To go to San Francisco, now getting into the plane is what you needed to do. After the plane lands from at San Francisco, reverse, getting out of the plane is what you needed to do. So work is a means. One has to see that work is a means. It is to be used for a purpose. And when we do it with the right attitude and in the right fashion, it fulfills the purpose. If we do it in the wrong way, it does not fulfill the purpose. And therefore we get the idea, let me throw it away. Suppose I had picked up the knife and held the blade in my hand and trying to cut the cauliflower with the handle. After a while, what would happen? My hand will start bleeding. The cauliflower will not get cut. So I will try to throw. This knife is useless. The knife is not useless, fellow. You fool, you didn't know how to use it. You were doing it in the wrong way. The knife is perfectly all right. You have to hold it in the proper way. So learning to do work in the right way, that is important. That otherwise it will not serve the purpose, it will only bleed us. It will only bind us, nothing more than that. So hold the work as the instrument of yoga. Perform it in a dedicated way. Try to root out all the desires from the work. And now, when the purpose is served, the mind has become calm. Now, chopping is done now. Now don't hold knife, no need to keep on holding it anymore. Now, keep it aside. So, the work now can be kept aside. shamakaranamuchyate. The same being, you know, it's the same person. The same yogatmananda that is doing work wrongly learns to do the work in the right manner. Doing it in the right manner evolves. After evolution, bless me that I may, comes to a stage that now I can keep it down. There is no need for it. The mind is calm. And now, therefore, the means is to give it up. To give up attachment even to the work and be free completely. Shamakaranamuchyate. So these, the same person evolves. There is a lotus is blooming. It is, say, or any other flower, you can see the commonly seen flower, say a rose. You see a small bud coming up. You call it, hey, look at that bud. Next day you say, okay, look at that bud. You still call it bud. Then, one day after maybe 2 days, depends on the speed, you say, look at that flower. That very bud now is called flower. That which you were calling bud will be called as flower. So somebody who we were calling the one who is trying to practice yoga, Vishwanath trying to practice yoga, Vishwanath trying to practice yoga. After some time, we will say, Vishwanath, the yogi, you know, perfected in the practice, you see. So it is, he might have already been, we may not know, that's all. So it is like that, you know, that it is by it is, a person gets transformed from inside and gradually climbs that levels, and therefore the means change. I have to climb the stairs to go to my room. First stair, I am climbing the stair. I am on the staircase. When I am on the staircase, I keep on climbing step after step. When I come to that landing there, then now I don't have to keep on climbing. I will fall if I try to. It is, there the idea is now stop climbing. Now there is no stair. You have reached that flat landing. Now you just walk. So, at one stage, but if I am on the stair and I start to walk instead of climbing, that is disastrous. If I am on the landing and start to climb, that again is disastrous. So, the discipline is to be followed according to the level of evolution. What a great message, friends. Not that all spiritual disciplines are for everybody. It is not a blanket academic prescription. It is according to what one needs, at what level of evolution a person is. And then the next verse will tell how to decide it. I may just think that, you know, I have been in this a monk for 30 years or so, and so now I must have been a yogi already. Now I don't need to do any work. It is not that simple. It is not need not be just decided in this manner. There are objective criteria for judging it. You can judge it whether I still need to do yoga or not. You cannot say that because I have been in plane for some time, so now I must be in San Francisco, let me jump out. It is, no, you sit, put your seat belt, don't worry. So it is, like that. There are objective signs for that. We will try to discuss that on next Friday. Any questions? Although the time is up, I think we can take up the questions also next time. Oh, you had some question? Okay, come on, shoot. Then that it has attained perfection means of that up to that level. The perfection that can be given through work has been attained. So therefore, now what has happened in the process is that person has developed an attachment for that instrument too. Now therefore, one has to give up that instrument, attachment to that instrument. That is the idea given there. That perfection means here only perfection that can be given by that particular discipline. So, by doing the work in this fashion, you get to that discipline. Now, a next discipline is to be taken up. And so your attachment to this discipline is to be given up. So that is what is told. The translation again, inaction is not exactly the meaning of this word shama. It is more than that. It is becoming quiet. It is becoming non-attached to work, that particular discipline also, to work also. You will understand this by the example. That example is about something different, but it is similar. Like Sri Ramakrishna was told by Totapuri, his guru, to concentrate on the absolute Brahman. And he instinctively, because of his that method with which he was progressing the divine form of Mother Kali. Now, that is in a way perfection, but for that particular discipline he had to cut that image. So that becomes, earlier it is not the discipline to cut the image, oh it is not even perfected, how can you cut it? Now you have to go beyond it, so he imagined their knowledge to be this world and cut the image of Kali. So, it is, that becomes the discipline there. So according to the stage, the discipline differs. Let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarayehe Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padma Dvinesrita Ekam